Directors on January 8th to order. And would you all please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And many of you know that we recently had a member of the KUA family pass away. And I would ask that we just have a moment of silence in memory of Mon Son. Thank you.
All righty.
Awards and, oh, no, the agenda. Do I have
I a move that we accept the agenda.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to accept the agenda as it is. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Now, awards and presentations.
Yes, Madam Chair, we have got a few awards and presentations this afternoon. We've got a 10-year service award. We want to recognize Jorge. He's hiding there. Materials management in our finance and administration department. We're recognizing for 10 years of service. Congratulations, Jorge. Next, we've got, where's Christine? Where is she?
Yes.
Next, we've got Christine Infante. Supervisor in customer service. We're recognizing her as our January 2020 Employee of the Month. There's a few things that your employees have to say about you. Christine starts every day with a positive outlook. Her work ethic and positive attitude are infectious and uplifting. She's always fair and consistent with every representative. She continuously provides constructive feedback to ensure that we're performing to the best of our ability. Her main goal is to make sure that our customers are taken care of and that we're providing the best customer service possible while meeting our goals. Christine is always dependable. I cannot recall a time where she turned anyone away or said that she was too busy to assist. She truly uplifts the morale of our department, but I want to go a step further and say you lift the morale of the entire organization, so I appreciate you and the work that you do. I want to introduce you to our board.
Thank you.
Beginning with our chair, Kathleen Baxter.
Congratulations. Thanks for all your good work.
Our vice chair,
congratulations. One day off with Bay. Enjoy it.
Director Jean Van Meter.
Congratulations. Thank you. And this is a T-shirt that's special just for the employee of the month.
Secretary Manny Ortega. Director Reagan Hill.
Congratulations. And we have a little parking space for you.
And Mayor Jose Alvarez.
Congratulations. Great job. Here's some Osceola Arts tickets. All right, enjoy.
Thank you. Congratulations again. This next person that I want to recognize is our 2019 Employee of the Year, and I'm looking for be very nice to meet you. Be very proud of your mom. Our 2019 Employee of the Year. She should have received this at our holiday gathering in 2019. She wasn't able to make it, but we're happy that you're here today. Mid last year, while driving in DVL, Michelle noticed an elderly man lying next to the roadway. She pulled over to check on the individual, only to discover that he had suffered a fall and was bleeding profusely from the head. Michelle immediately called 911 and assisted the man until paramedics arrived. The man later indicated that he was in the process of moving a trash receptacle on the road when he tripped and fell on the pavement and wasn't able to get up. Michelle could have easily gone on about her normal duty, but went the extra mile to contact emergency responders and remained with the man until he made sure that he was okay. That's outstanding.
Thank you.
And I appreciate you and all that you do. And just a little token of our appreciation, I want to introduce you to our board here, beginning with our chair, Kathleen Backer.
Hello.
Great story.
Our vice chair, Director Urbina.
Two days with Paige. Enjoy them. Congratulations. Great job.
Director Van Meter.
Thank you so much for everything you do.
Director Manny Ortega. Rayham Hill.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And a special parking place for the next year.
Thank you.
Next year.
Wow.
And Mayor Jose Alvarez.
Congratulations. Thank you so much for what you did.
Let's give her a big round of applause. Madam Chair, item D4 is the recognition of the 2020 Calendar Art Contest winners, and I'm going to ask Vice President, Director of Corporate Communications, Chris Gent, to present that.
Thank you, Brian. This is one of our most exciting meetings of the year when we get to recognize these students. This afternoon, we are pleased to recognize the winners of our 26th Annual Student Calendar Art Contest. Open to Osceola County students in kindergarten through sixth grade, the contest is designed to promote energy conservation among our students and their families. This year, a total of 1,149 entries were received from 26 Osceola County elementary schools. A panel of judges from the community selected 12 entries, one for each month, that are featured in the 2020 Calendar of Energy Conservation. If you don't have your copy, they have them in the lobby on your way out. So these students are now officially published artists. So we appreciate the efforts of all the students who entered this year, but especially those selected to be included in this calendar. We're going to call up each winner's name, each winner by name, so that the board can present a token of our appreciation. And then after that, we're going to, we'll break, and I know they're going to want photos with you all as well. So first of all, our December's not here yet. Okay, so December's not here yet. But for December, St. Cloud Preparatory Academy was fifth grader Lila Robinson. For the month of November, from Kissimmee Charter Academy is Michael McGuire Jr., grade 5, and he was not able to be with us tonight. For October, from Kissimmee Charter Academy is Rosalinda Morales, grade 5. Come on up. And you'll stay up here. For the month of September, from Holy Redeemer Catholic School is Hannah Sue, grade 6. For the month of August, from Parton Settlement Elementary, Ashton Rose, first grade.
Put that next to the tallest one.
For July, from Holy Redeemer Catholic School, Victoria Sanchez, grade 6. For the month of June, from Renaissance Charter School at Boggy Creek, Anastasia Barreto, grade 4. For May, from Highlands Elementary is Diego Gutierrez, grade 4. For April, from Holy Redeemer Catholic School, Sebastian Jaramillo, grade 6. For the month of March, from Holy Redeemer Catholic School, Camilla Vargas, grade 3. For for the month of February, Parton Settlement Elementary, Anissa Rose, grade 5. And for January, and this year's grand prize winner from St. Cloud Preparatory Academy is Savannah Doe, grade 5. So before we take the group photo, I just want to tell you something that's pretty remarkable. As I told you, we had 1,149 entries. So that's, I mean, that's pretty remarkable. Even more remarkable is the fact that this is the second year, second win for Anissa. Raise your hand, Anissa. So this is the second year that she's ended up in the top 12. And Diego was actually last year's grand prize winner. And so he's here again. This is all the second time in contest history that siblings have won in the same year with Anissa and Ashton Rose. Do you all raise your hands? Raise your hands. Well, we'll go ahead and take the group photo, and then we'll...
If they move together, it'll be better.
Get the little ones in the front.
Go ahead. Congratulations, Holy Redeemer.
That's good. Yeah.
Okay, let's just take a couple and we'll let parents go up.
What we will do is we'll adjourn the meeting for about 10 minutes and give you all a chance to take your pictures, and we'll get back at
3:50. Yeah. Congratulations again.
We're to the point of hearing the audience. Is there anyone in the audience that wishes to address the board? Seeing no one, we'll go on to the consent agenda. Do I have a motion regarding the consent agenda?
Move approval.
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, we have no public hearing, and item H is informational presentations.
Yes, Madam Chair. Item H1, I'm going to ask our new Vice President of Human Resources, Cindy Herrera, to come and speak to the item.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Afternoon.
So with this informational item, I just wanted a staff to make you aware that per the direction of the president and general manager, HR was to work and secure Evergreen Solutions, which is a consulting firm, to review the components of the performance evaluation process. And in doing so, I have with us today Dr. Jeffrey Ling. He's the executive vice president, and he's going to provide you an overview of that process and what we'll be working towards.
All right, thank you. Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
We've prepared a short presentation to share with you in regards to the process that we're proposing to go through the general manager's performance evaluation review. We are a national public sector management consulting firm, which is a long description for we're a firm that specializes in working with public entities on human resource-related challenges and issues. We're based in Tallahassee, Florida. This is our 16th year in operations, but my business partner and I have worked together for almost 30 previous firms. And what I put together is a very brief introduction to Evergreen, and then what I want to talk about is the scope that you inquired of us, that you ask us about, and working with Wilbur and now with Cindy, and talk a little bit about the major steps and then answer any questions that the board might have. Evergreen has worked in 46 states over our history. We have extensive amount of experience with utilities. We've worked with 24 different utilities in the last 3 years. We've completed about 200 performance-related studies. Those would be studies related to performance evaluations for an executive team, or even for the organization as a whole. And we've completed about 600 human resource-related studies, most of them pertaining to compensation, classification, organization of work, staffing, or efficiency and effectiveness of service delivery within the organization. We do some other things as well. Here in the state of Florida, the state's HR strategic plan is something that we designed for many years. We did the legislature's research on compensation within the state. We're also the primary provider to about 50% of the compensation work that's done by local governments within the state of Florida. So here, City of Kissimmee is a past client, St. Cloud's a past client, Osceola County, Orange County, Seminole County. We work throughout the state of Florida quite extensively and employ just about 20 people here in Florida working with compensation or human resource-related issues for local governments. We do work with other entity types. They're listed there, but our principal lines of business are related to city and county functions, including utilities. With the state government side, we have worked on some utility planning, but much more focused at the local level than at the state level. There are five primary items that were inquired of us if we'd be able to assist with. And really the first was to review where you're at as an organization, your mission, your vision, as well as your strategic goals of the authority, to take a look at the current job duties of your general manager, and to look at critical factors for success. And much of this work has been done by the board previously and provided to us as part of your strategic plan process, as well as feedback that you provided the current general manager and previous general managers. We'll be reviewing that information, as well as interacting with the general manager on the goals that he's identified, as well as the goals that the board has identified. We do want to facilitate two discussions with the board. So I believe our intent is to meet with you in a workshop setting before your next two meetings. The first meeting would focus primarily on conceptual components that would go into an evaluation. What do you want to evaluate your general manager on? What are the factors that you feel like are critical for success? What are the elements that you feel like, from a future standpoint, you would want to utilize to incentivize, as well as provide guidance to a general manager? And then also, what would be the mechanics that would go into that? So our second meeting will focus more on what goes into collecting that information, how is that information reported to you, what format do you wish to receive that information as you take action throughout the year, but primarily on an annual basis related to the review of the general manager. We will develop a methodology. It won't simply be a form. We understand you have a form now. You do have a process now. We'll be working with you on each component that goes into that new process, as well as reviewing best practices. And so we'll visit as part of that second meeting about what are other utilities, especially electrical utilities, doing around the country in regards to evaluate their senior leadership team and specifically their general manager or their CEO. And we'll also take a look at, as we move forward in that second meeting, what is the best way to house and provide that information to you. So as I mentioned, there is a strong process component to this as well, not simply a form. We will submit and discuss the proposed evaluation to you in that second meeting or that workshop. We'll structure it around taking a look at a real document and components of a real document. This is your evaluation form, not Evergreen's. We will be providing advice and support to you in this process, but we'll work with you in that second meeting to finalize it as part of that workshop process. And then we'll provide the documentation and supporting information to HR so that they can assist you going forward in collecting, reviewing, and monitoring that information. The primary steps, or the steps in which you'll see me interact with me as well as our team, is as we go through analyzing the strategic direction, I will have some questions for you in our next meeting about that, primarily points of clarification. I will be reaching out to the general manager to talk about his job duties. I have a copy of his current job description. I have a copy of his contract, other materials that were provided to me through HR, but we find it's usually helpful to gain an understanding of the day-to-day life of that individual. What are the things that they're spending the majority of their time on? And in doing this type of work all over the country, we find that senior executives even with very similar job descriptions, have different priorities of area of emphasis. And many times it relates to the culture and mechanics or operations of that specific organization. And so we find it's helpful to hear about what is your typical day, what is your typical month like, what are the issues that you're dealing with. Then we'll hold that conceptual meeting with the board. And so, again, we're hoping to do that at your next meeting as a workshop before that meeting begins. Typically, those meetings we slate for about an hour. And so I'll come in, I'll provide some materials to you in advance, a short PowerPoint that will guide us through that discussion. You'll have all of that in advance, so if you want to have put your thoughts down or think about your thoughts, but it will be formatted as a discussion. It won't be a lecture, it won't be where I'm taking you through, make a decision on this, now make a decision on that. We'll have a dialogue as it relates to the elements that would go into what defines success in that position. Then we'll go back and collect best practices. So based on your guidance, based on what you feel like, this is something we'd like to see more of, this is something that we're not as interested in, this is something that worked in the past, all of those type of elements will guide us in selecting the best practices to share with you, and then develop a tool and process and come back and visit with you again in the month of March, holding an operational workshop with you for approximately an hour. And then we'll finalize the form and the process and meet with HR. The outcomes that come out of the scope of work is you will have that performance evaluation. That is a written document. Many cases, and I believe you use Excel now to collect that information from board members and report that information. Many cases, we do recommend that you utilize Excel for doing that because almost everyone has access to Excel, and it's very easy for it to be collected as well as stored by human resources. But we also will have a written document that summarizes the review process. So you will be receiving a short report that indicates the steps that go into the process, the questions that will be answered, as well as the procedures that you'll follow. And then if desired, there will be some type of indication of how this will link into some type of reward strategy. And so if you, based on your current contract, you have the ability to offer a bonus or a one-time reward, as well as you have linked regular compensation to the compensation of the employees group as a whole. But we'll talk a little bit about how that information could be leveraged, what other utilities do with that information. There's a variety of approaches out there. And so part of that dialogue and part of the written report that you'll receive will also link this information to any type of rewards approach you'd like to use in the future. So I will pause there and those are the highlights that I want to share with you today. Again, we'll work on quite a few other features in our next two meetings or our two workshops, but I'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have today.
A couple of words. Sure. Saying that you're going to help us to develop a formal format or best practices to evaluate the CEO.
Yes, sir. That's correct.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
On a little different slant, a lot of the educational presentations that I've been to by APPA, et cetera, have also demonstrated that the board needs to be evaluated as well as the general manager, as well as the general manager. Will that be rolled into this process anywhere?
As of now, that has not been identified as part of the scope. However, many of the elements that we'll work with you to identify for the general manager, when we have those conversations, I'll be happy to share with you, and these are items that in other jurisdictions the board utilizes for their evaluation as well. And so there is some overlap that exists between those components. And I'd be happy to address those when we have those conversations. But as of now, one of the key deliverables would not be a process and form that would govern the board's evaluation. But we will be overlapping some with that in our discussions over our two workshops. Yes.
Yes.
Madam Chair, you know, this will be my fourth year as the mayor of the city. And ever since I sat in this board, I've always reminded this board that the way that we evaluated our CEO together with the VPs was incorrect. I will bring you into the charter of KUA, which is identical to the charter of the city of Kissimmee. Your CEO works for this board. The VPs work for the CEO, and the rest of the staff works for the CEO. evaluating both at the same time, VPs and CEO, it's not right. It's actually against your charter. And so I understand this process. The city of Kissimmee is not that complicated. The beginning of the year, we do a commission retreat, and we set goals as a commission. And at the end of the year, we evaluate our city manager by the accomplishments of the goals that were set by the city commission. It's as simple as that. It's not complicated. One of the first things this board needs to do is separate the two.
We have. With his contract, and that's part of the reason we got into all of this, is we now tie the CEO's salary to the rest of the organization, along with the VPs to the rest of the organization. So we don't dip into that and say, you're getting this percent and you're getting that percent. It's now automatic, which leads us to letting this evaluation instrument be much more helpful in what we're doing with the organization than to just say, your salary is going to be based on this. The more we're away from that and saying, here's our goals, here's what we want, here's how we can get there, and have we accomplished that?
Well, accomplishment is at the end of the year when I have my city manager sits in front of us and reminds us of the goals, mm-hmm. and he shows what's been accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you evaluate.
Mm-hmm.
It's not complicated.
And maybe even having some self-evaluation from our CEO, because he knows certainly better than we do as we come to board meetings what's being accomplished on a day-to-day basis here. So even some elements of that may fit in here. And that's where our input in these workshops is going to be vitally important. What elements do we want, need, find helpful for KUA, and go from there? Any other comments?
Well, questions? I think it's already a done deal, so we're just going to go ahead with it. I kind of agree with the mayor. But
You know, again, Madam Chair.
But then I was on the city commission.
Yeah, I don't see... I don't see why it has to be so complicated. I guess because I see it as a mayor of a city and as a commission that we evaluate our city manager on the goals that he or she accomplishes. And this is done by this board. It doesn't have to be complicated. It's as simple as that. Is you show me what you accomplish, and that's the evaluation that I'm going to give you. And I honestly don't see why making it so complicated.
Madam
I just
Chair,
don't see it. But leave it in your hands.
We could discuss about this for 25, 30 minutes, but I think we're going to set up some workshops, and we're going to go forward with it and see what happens. But
okay.
And then if we see that it's worthwhile, that's great. If not, then we'll know that not to do it again.
So. Okay. Anything else? Yes.
Madam Chair, hearing Dr. Ling and his time frame and schedule, he alluded to the need for a couple of workshops. Is it the board's desire to go ahead and try to set a time and date for those workshops now?
Could we do them for half hour or 45 minutes or so? How long do you need?
My preference would be an hour.
Okay.
But we would not need more than an hour.
Could we come to the next two board meetings hour early and do this and then go straight on to the regular board meeting?
You have a hand up over here, I think, Ethel. Oh.
I kind of forgot my question, but may I speak?
Yes.
I'm just concerned. I agree kind of half with the mayor and half with you, because I just want the person that we are supposed to be evaluating to be responsible and in his mind worry about the objectives and a strategic plan that we set up in the beginning and not worry so much all the time about his appraisal, about his evaluation.
Thank you.
So I want that to be off his mind and just concentrate on the job.
Absolutely.
And this is the reason why you evaluate on goals that are set. And that way you don't burden our CEO with having to worry. His only worry is to make sure that this company continues to function in the direction that this board has given. It can't be any more clear than that.
It's just a check mark.
Well, I don't see the necessity. This is, how much is this going to cost KUA pay raters?
The engagement is $4,000.
I just don't see the reason why we need to spend fundings that belong to our pay raters for something that is not complicated, something that is very simple. We create the goals. Our CEO's job is to accomplish the goals, and that's how we evaluate our CEO. I just don't see anything else. I just don't see it.
We have historically had that as one component of it. Our strategic plan and our evaluation of the strategic plan is one of the parts of the evaluation. But we've also had that sheet where we had to rate all these things from 1 to 4 and come out with a number, and that number then got figured into what the raise was. We don't have that now.
Good.
Good. But you have the right goals, but you have the goals that you set.
We do.
And so that is what he will bring to the table the day that we do his evaluation.
And he will.
And so then why this process? Why have to do this?
I say we go forward and
I think this board is making a huge mistake by doing that.
Well, and it's not a voted on situation, so yes.
And if I may, just in support with this process in allowing every board member to provide their, you know, what they are expecting, their expectations of Brian per his contract. This is new, right? So his contract is new. How y'all evaluated Mr. Welsh in the past and how that was tied to his performance and pay. Now the board has established per the contract that it is a market level adjustment. So whatever is provided to the employees is also what is going to be given to the general manager. Aside from that, again, per the contract, should the board decide that a bonus component be part of that for whatever those measures are, those are some of the things that we're going to be identifying and what that looks like or not. But this would be the time to establish that. We really didn't have that time to do that initially as things wrapped up pretty quickly with the transition of Mr. Welsh. And now this would be the perfect time to identify and outline that and everybody be on the same page and, again, give their voice and understanding and assisting Dr. Ling with producing that. So, again, it could be something very simple in identifying and incorporating, of course, as strategic goals that are very important for this organization and meeting them. But then what else are those other items that could assist you all as the board and Brian as well, if it is a self-evaluation component, if it is X, Y, and Z or not? This would allow that to transpire through this workshop and identify that. So
to me, the most important thing to evaluate him is the goals that we set. And that's all he should worry about. I don't want to put that on his shoulder, having to worry about anything else than the direction that this board has given him. I have a city manager that for 8 years has completed all his tasks that we have put in front of him and has never taken a dime over what we give our employees in the city. If this board decides that a bonus comes in place, that's a different story. But on evaluation of our CEO, it should be on the goals that was set by this board in the direction that they gave him to accomplish. And those should be his goals for his evaluation.
And that always has been a major component, and I can't speak for the board, but I'm sure it will continue to be a major component. So maybe we need to look at it as, okay, the strategic plan and the evaluation of that is the basic evaluation of our CEO. But if we really felt that we wanted him to have a one-time bonus, we've got to have some justification. We can't just say, I think I'd like to give him a bonus. So maybe this additional framework is simply to establish that.
Madam Chairman?
Yes.
Would you poll the five members of the of our board and see how we feel, and then we can go forward if we're all for it or against it?
Okay.
Please.
Well, so this is an informal.
Ray wants to say something.
Can I make a comment or two before we do that? I'm the youngest one on the board as far as tenure goes, but not by age. So consequently, some of the things that we have discussed in the past, one, do we evaluate just on the strategic goals? What about personal goals for them? That has to be brought into this in addition to the strategic goals. Because you may want your CEO to do some very special things for a specific year. And they may not have a complete reliance on those strategic goals, because the strategic goals are more based on the organization as a whole. And we argue about this every time we do an evaluation. So I believe it really is time to step back, take a look. Maybe there's something there that's a little bit different and in more of an alignment with what we really need as we go forward as a board and do the evaluations of the CEO as we go down the road.
So just informally, how many of you think we could benefit by this process?
How many just want to go forward with it?
Okay.
Simple.
Want to go forward with it? Raise your hand. Okay. So we'll go to the next item, which is...
No, just point of clarification. So if the board is moving forward, we need clarity on when you want the... You mentioned before the next two meetings, but we didn't establish a time. If we want, if it needs to be an hour, it needs to be 2:30 or 2.
Fine with me.
Is 2:30 at the next board meeting fine?
I think two.
So we can have a little
break. Okay, a break in between 2 o'clock on the day of the next board meeting. And then potentially, did we want to leave it the same for the following month, too,
yes.
So you can kind of plan ahead?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 2 o'clock, the day of the next two board meetings. Yes.
Yes, and just one item I'd like for us to just be conscious of. I believe y'all have the Directive 1302 that was provided in the packet there. And just to make a point, whatever we do decide, we do need to come back and look at should we need to update this directive along with any of the contracts. So I just wanted to make sure the board was aware of this and that we keep that in mind. So not to lose sight of that, I just wanted to make sure we did that.
And Madam Chair, I would just to supplement.
Yes, sorry, I'm hunting for 1302.
Not at all.
I found it.
Thank you. This governed Mr. Welsh's basically his last 5 years here. I think the board tried to bring some clarity to the process by drafting this directive, but already it's inconsistent largely with the agreement we have with our CEO. So it's good that it's very helpful that the vice president of HR has pointed out this has to be updated one way or the other. So coming out of this process, we look forward to addressing that.
Okay. So that will take up at a future board meeting?
Yes.
Okay. Good information.
Thank you.
So we have no old business. We have no new business. And we can go straight back to Cindy.
Yes.
Yes, Madam Chair. We've got the human resource semi-annual report. Cindy's first semi-annual report to the board.
So I was gifted with, in the past 5 years, Wilbur only had an annual report. So now we have a semi-annual report. So you get to see me a few more times this year than you might have seen Wilbur. So hopefully I'm able to deliver with all the necessary and important information that I feel human resources along with the organization brings. Given that it is semi-annual, I did kind of break it up, so it's going to be a little light for the most part, but I felt these were some important statistics to bring forward and identify to y'all. So I'm going to jump in and go into our demographics and kind of what that looked like this past year and some of the other years. So again, more statistical kind of a background on that. Applicants. So looking at this graph, I know there's quite a few different numbers on there, but you can see from 2016 to 2019 listed above the graphs, these numbers, I go from 1,200 to over 5,000. What that is actual applications submitted into KUA for positions that we had open, which is amazing. It doubled over last year. I do want to point out before we start thinking, did we actually add all those new positions? No, we did not. The board approved. We had full-time equivalents that did not change from last fiscal year to this fiscal year per the approval of the budget. So just identifying why we've had people exit, retire from the organization. We've had some organizational changes, so new positions that came to light. So that 42 that you're seeing on 2019 is just showing the positions that we had that filled. So 5,000, I want to go back to that, 5,000. I know we felt it in human resources, but to see the number, I can tell you we had our staff, we ran those numbers a few times because we couldn't believe it ourselves. We felt it. We knew we were busy just in that component. But to see that is amazing. And I say that we had 20 promotions, me being one. So I'm so grateful and thankful for that. And 22 new hires. So we had 22 new employees come and join our workforce. And I think that just speaks volumes of, we are an employee of choice. People want to work here. We are a great place to work for KUA, and we're able to do that by to be able to attain and attract new people is from our rates and our benefits. So I do highly think if you really want to get the best of the best, and we got a lot to choose from, we are selecting those, and that's why. Okay. Just a little overview. Currently, well, off of 2019 stats, our age group, the majority of our workforce was in the 35 to 54 age range. Okay. That changed over 2017 and 2019. And this was something that you, that Wilbur, with other past presentations, you could see that evolving. And this just shows to light what that looks like. So back in 2017, the majority of our employees were the 45-54 range age group, right? The majority of our employees. Looking at 2019, you're seeing the younger, 18 to 34, coming in. Right. So as the baby boomers are exiting the workforce, we are we're still hiring experienced individuals, but it looks like we've got younger individuals coming in. The millennials. Right. We hear the millennials. And what does that mean? We need to be prepared as an organization. And we have been, and we need to continue to ensure that we're supporting the employees that may be exiting the workforce, so getting that knowledge from them before they leave, and making sure that when the new ones come in, they're set up for success. So we are doing that with training. We'll be identifying a full-blown succession plan that's part of this year, and making sure that those skilled individuals, those high key-level positions, when they do leave, that we have somebody that can fill them. Safety and risk management, touching in on that area. I am really ecstatic to know that we have currently with us 175 employees that are certified under first aid, CPR, AED, and bloodborne pathogens. So not just, you know, one of those areas, all of them through the American Red Cross. And 99 of those, which half of those, was trained by our own safety administrator, Brad McCountain. Is he here, Brad? Did he come up? No. I wanted him to stand up and embarrass him, but proud that he was able to do that. And he did it in a blended approach, which was half online and the other half was the hands-on. So the employees weren't out of the office so much. And you may be asking why only 175. We identified with the departments, the safety-sensitive positions, right? So we want to ensure our employees out in Kane Island, should an emergency arise, that they're equipped and know what to do until emergency personnel comes out, our linemen, really anyone. It could happen at any time. So to know that we have that many employees that are certified, I think speaks volumes. So I'm proud of that. It was a lot of work. And we'll continue to make sure that they keep their certifications. PDC, the property damage claims, that's part and in-house and housed in human resources. Glad to announce that over the last 3 years, we've seen a decrease in the claims that have come over and the total costs that have been paid out. Healthcare. This is going to be I saved kind of the best for last on this end. Our health insurance renewal. 000, nothing, zilch, nada. Our medical, dental, vision, and life renewal came in at a 0% increase. If you recall, this happened 2 years ago. I never thought I'd see it in my lifetime, and to see it twice in my lifetime I'm just amazed, with no change to any of our plans. And what does that mean? Right off the bat, that's over about $300,000 savings to KUA and impacting our employees and making it affordable with such great benefits that we have. This is done through supporting measures of our different health initiatives that we have that our employees take part of, and negotiation with our broker and with the relationship that we have with our carrier, which is Cigna. So this is huge, especially when the industry trend is anywhere between 8 and 12, and actually seeing a lot higher in the numbers. As we understand, healthcare is just skyrocketing. So to know that we had a zero, again, I cannot be more proud of and ecstatic to say that we were able to renew at the 0% increase on that. And just a few items. There's a lot, but just wanted to touch on a few that are upcoming in the human resources area. We have MPerform, our performance management tracking system, that is going to be online. So we got that. That's going to be launched. We'll continue with our on-site biometrics, which is, again, part of our employees to be healthy. We go to all the sites that we have and make this available for everybody. We'll be moving to a new online applicant tracking system. So all those 5,000 plus applications that we're getting, we're ensuring that we're able to get those in our wellness fair that we have every year, and continue that. And then we have our certified public manager class, our CPM. This is going to be the third class that KUA has sponsored. They're going to be graduating this at the end of this, actually in the summer. So that is what we have. Just, again, some of the highlights that we have coming for this year. That concludes my presentation. Any questions?
Welcome. Welcome. Yeah,
thank you. Thank you so much.
Ray.
From my work history, how many, and I'm going to ask this just based on that, how many of the applicants actually had qualifications for the positions they were applying for versus something completely non-existent?
I can say, being on some of the interview panels myself, I would say maybe half to a little less than that. But those 5,000, there was eyes on each one of those. So we have to review those things. We take into consideration veterans' preference. There's a lot of things that we really look at, and there's so many. It really is hard in identifying, because we have top people that once we, you know, narrowed it down, we really do have a great group to choose from. So that, again, great speaks volumes of who we're attracting and who we're hiring, the best of the best. So, yes, it's great. Great stuff.
That's hard to believe, 50%.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that's probably what we saw, too. And, you know, because you may say that you want this type of technical criteria X number of years. Well, the applicants had no training or had no nothing. Yeah. And they would still apply.
Yes.
And it's like,
you do have, we do have that. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Any other questions or comments?
No.
Thanks. Great
Thank
report.
You. Thank you all.
Okay. Hear the attorney.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Happy New Year to you and the board. Got a few items. First, several of the board members had raised the appropriate issue as to when we have mutual aid crews here on site, and we have a situation like we do with Dorian where they're waiting days and days to see if there's going to be any restoration work. Instead of sitting idle, can we put them to work on normal utility projects? And Amy Zubley of FMEA was at a conference recently where there was a number of folks involved with restoration from different utilities. She did us the favor of reaching out and asking certain, mostly managers and supervisors, of course, if they would be willing, if they went to a utility in Florida to restore service and they had a situation like this where they were sitting idle, they'd be willing to have their guys and gals work on normal utility operations. And she said the response was mixed. There were certain supervisors that said, absolutely, I don't want my people sitting around doing nothing. And there were others that said, we're going there for one reason, that's to restore power after a storm. We're not doing anything other than that. So what we are thinking is that if we have a storm and FMEA calls out assistance for us, we're going to take whoever comes, obviously, because we have to be ready. The first priority is restoring. But if we get in a situation like Dorian, where crews are waiting and waiting to see what happens, it doesn't hurt to ask. And I think it'll be on a case-by-case basis. And if someone says, yeah, we'll be happy to earn our keep with active work as opposed to waiting and sitting around, that's what we'll do. So appreciate that the question was raised and pleased to at least report back that it's not just a universal no. So that's the first thing. Yes.
It can also be posted as a learning situation because they may not be doing exactly the same thing as we are doing it. They can learn what we do or how we do that may be a little different. So maybe it's posted as a learning
opportunity. Yeah, absolutely. I don't really see the public interest in saying no, but yeah, some folks are, we're only there for one reason. Maybe they're worried about certain contractual items and things like that. But you know, these folks know how to help us. They're in the same business. And so I agree with you, Director Urbina. It is a good learning experience. I mean, I know that our guys learn a lot when they went for Superstorm Sandy and were restoring power in the snow. That was a great learning experience for them, and they did a great job. No surprise there. And anything else on that? I got a couple others. I just wanted to point out, and I have nothing editorial to say about it, but I just wanted you to be aware if you're not. The Department of Health for the state of Florida has issued a finding that there is no evidence of unusual levels of cancer exposure in the area around Stanton. So I just want you to be aware that that's what's been alleged, and so that's the finding that's out there, the official finding from the Department of Health. And then finally, House Bill 653, we have talked about that a fair amount. That's the bill that's been sponsored that would eliminate the ability of KUA and other municipal electric utilities to contribute to their parent city's general fund. We're working it very hard here with all our local elected officials on our delegation. FMEA is working it hard. I want to thank the city. The city is all over this. And the impact to cities could be really dramatic, not just in terms of things like parks, but public safety. So we're going to stay on top of this, and I'll keep you posted if there's any further developments on that. And outside of that, I stand for any questions.
And the City Commission last night agreed to do a a letter in opposition of House Bill 653 will be signed by not only myself but the entire commission, and we will send it to our legislators and let them know that we're working against it. And Florida Legal Cities is also aware that that bill is there. There's actually 20 bills against home rules right now in Tallahassee. And this one just adds into the pile that it's just sitting there waiting. So the commissioner is aware of it. I think the county commissioner is going to bring it up to themselves also, and the city of St. Cloud is also is going to look at it and write a letter in opposition.
Thank you, Mayor. Madam Chair, board members, this could eviscerate funding for public safety, for fire and police. I mean, that's how bad it is. So,
well done.
Thank you, sir.
Well done. Board, there are your reminders. I look forward to traveling with you all early February for the legislative events. Don't work out.
Okay.
Nothing from you.
Okay, Ray.
The only thing I wanted to bring up is, could we raise the temperature a couple of degrees in this room? This room is, I freeze. I go home, and it takes me hours to warm up from being in this room.
Director, we'll see what we can do.
It'll be cheaper just to buy her a coat.
I was thinking long underwear.
I was thinking we could get her some long underwear.
And my face is starting to turn purple.
We'll get you some gloves. We have any linemen's? I have any gloves out there?
Manny has nothing, and we probably couldn't hear him if he did.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Me too. Happy New Year to everybody, and thank you. Welcome to your new position, and God bless you.
Thanks to everybody, and hope we have a great year, and we are adjourned.